I've been there in the lowest of times. I've had questions in my mind. I've been scared, but I know that I have a Savior who knows right where I am and hears my prayer. In the midst of all the problems and burdens of this life, I will call upon the one who can get me through the night. Lord, hold my hand in the middle of my storm. When I'm sinking down, help me to stand. When the waves are crashing round, may I keep my eyes on you. 'Cause Lord, you're the only one who can help me get through the middle of my storm. I don't know how the story will end. I didn't see this in the plans you had for me, but I know that I can trust in the one who's working all things for my good. Though I may not know the answers till I reach the other side, I will keep my eyes on Jesus till my faith becomes sight. Lord, hold my hand in the middle of my storm. When I'm sinking down, help me to stand. When the waves are crashing round, may I keep my eyes on you. 'Cause Lord, you're the only one who can help me get through the middle of my storm. Lord, you're greater than my problems, greater than my fears. You are greater than my weakness, greater than my tears. You've never let me down, and you are here with me right now. Lord, hold my hand in the middle of my storm. When I'm sinking down, help me to stand. When the waves are crashing round, may I keep my eyes on you. 'Cause Lord, you're the only one who can help me get through. You are the only one who can help me get through the middle of my storm. The middle of my storm.
Amen. Thank the Lord for the truth in that song. It's a great truth that the Scripture teaches, but I believe probably has been experienced by a lot of people that are in the house today. You have found the Lord faithful, and you found Him to stick with you, not only through the middle of the storm, but until the end and then some. I'm glad that Jesus never leaves us nor forsakes us, aren't you? You have your Bible open to 2 Timothy chapter number 3. And as I've been praying this week, I don't have a sermon for you this morning. I have a message. And I'm going to speak to you from my heart about the importance of the Bible And why a Bible? Why do we have a Bible? That book that you have in your possession this morning is more really than just a Bible. It's the Word of God. I really trust that you realize that. It's the Word of God. If we could just get a hold of that, I believe it would change the way that we approach it, number one, the way that we approach it itself, the way we read it, with the soberness to obey it, to put it into practice in our lives. The longer I live, the more I realize God knows what's best for my life. You know, I'm a stubborn somebody. Nobody said amen. That's good. I'm stubborn. I'm like most of you. Can be hard-headed. I think about the man who's writing this. He was kind of a stubborn fella. And he realized that he'd wasted some years that really he didn't have to waste. But he did because he was stubborn and hard-headed, sinful. I told you last week about a man by the name of Peter. Peter was a stubborn man. And he was hard-headed. And he went through a lot of things that he didn't have to go through because he wouldn't listen to the Word of God, who was Jesus Christ. There may be somebody here today that you're in a place in your life and you know in your soul, I wouldn't be here if I would have just listened to the Word of God. I think all of us, whether we're in that place now or whether we have been in that place, I think all of us can look back over the scope and span of our lives and say, you know, I've been in places that I didn't have to go through if I would have just listened to the Word of God. I'm glad the Word of God meets every need that I have. It meets every need that you have. And so I want to take these scriptures and I want to draw some truth from it that I hope will help you. Before I do, I want you to take your Bible and turn back, hold your place here, and turn back to 1 Corinthians just for a moment. I want to show you what I was talking about the man who wrote this. Now, the man who wrote this was Paul. He's an aged preacher now. He's getting ready to pass off the scene. Okay? And he's speaking to a younger preacher, his protege, and he's saying, Timothy, I want to share this with you, and I want you never to forget this. And so he shares some things with Timothy, and he went back to his conversion about how he was saved, the miracle of getting saved. What a miracle it is to be saved in the grace of God. And he spoke to him about it, and we'll get back to that. But I want you to notice that here's a man that's speaking to a younger man. It's almost as if you can read into it as you're reading when we get back to 2 Timothy. Peter did the same thing. Paul said, you know, Timothy, don't waste some years like I did. I was foolhardy, hard-headed, stubborn. God tried to get my attention over and over again. But I just kept resisting. I kept kicking against the pricks is the way he worded it in his own testimony. And I wouldn't let God work in my life the way he desired to work in my life. I want you to notice what he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Are you there? We have here what's called the gospel. In verse number 1, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. Now here's the gospel. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. He said, here's the gospel. This is the good news. That's what the word gospel means. The gospel is the fact that Christ died for our sins, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day. That's the gospel. And then he went on to say in verse number 5, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And then notice what he said in verse number 8. And last of all, he was seen of me also. I didn't have to be last, but I was. I could have been there, but I wasn't. I could have been there when he came out of the tomb, but it wasn't. A lot of things could have been different, but they weren't. Paul doesn't stay in this dark place very long before he reminds us, but you know, I'm glad I got out of that dark place. There's some regret here in his life. And I think when Paul is writing to young Timothy, as we're going to see in just a moment, he's going to say, Timothy, you've got an opportunity that I didn't have. You were born as a young child. You had the scriptures declaring to you, and you got saved in the grace of God as a young man. Timothy, don't let that go by the wayside. Don't waste years in your life. Grab hold of the truth and let the Bible make a difference in your life. Don't wait till you get to the backside of your life and then wake up to the reality that the Bible is the Word of God, and the Bible can mold and shape your life into the purpose that God has for it. He said, Timothy, don't waste years. Your years upon this earth, they're numbered. They're precious. Don't waste them. He said in verse number 9, after he said he was seen of last of all of me as one born out of due time, he said, for I am the least of verse number 9 of the apostles, and am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But I like what he said in verse number 10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. God's grace turned it all around. God's grace turned it all around. And then he went on to say this, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. He said, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. He said, you know, I was running to catch up. I felt like I was always running to catch up and somehow get back those years of hard-headedness and stubbornness. And I believe that was really a motivating factor in the life and ministry of the Apostle Paul. And so as we go back to 2 Timothy chapter number 3, we have him writing this young protege. On one of Paul's missionary journeys, he passed through a town called Lystra. And he preached, and there was a young man in the congregation who got saved that day. His name was Timothy. He got converted. Now, Timothy had a real good foundation laid in his home. You can find in the book of that is addressed, 1 and 2 Timothy, you can find where his mother and his grandmother, Eunice and Lois, they minister to him. And Paul is going to make reference to that right here. And so he begins to take up this thing called the Word of God. And I want to talk to you about the Word of God for just a few moments. There's three words that I want to give you that I want to build some thoughts around. Okay? Number one, I want to talk to you about intention. What is the intention of the Word of God? Why do we have a Bible? Why do you own a Bible? Why did God give us His Word? And then number two, we're going to talk about inspiration. Is this really God's Word? Or is it just the Word of a group of men who came together and said, we're going to write a book of morals, and we're going to write a book of how to do better, or we're going to write a book about some history of a nation, or whatever else that men say that this book is a compilation of. Which is it? It's either God's Word or it's not. And Paul said, Timothy, I want you to be assured in your heart that the very parchments that you have, that the very writings that you have, that the very autographs that you have, as he addressed them, look if you would down at your Bible in verse number 15, he said that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. They're different, Timothy. There's no book like this book. Timothy, this book's different. And so he said, I want you to know the intention of the Bible. Then I want you to know the inspiration of the Bible. And then he takes up in chapter number 4, He said, I want you to know the implications of the Bible. He said, I want you to know how that as you approach the intentions of the Bible. Now listen to me. The intentions, how you approach that and how you approach the inspiration of the Bible will have definite implications on your life. It'll have definite implications on your life. And he said, so I want you to get this because it's going to impact your life. And if you choose, you can set it aside and say, I'm not going to do it. He said, you can do it. Many have done it before, Timothy. Many have done it before. He said, but I'm praying you won't. You will let God's word go to work in your heart and life. Let's look at what he's saying. Let's look at the intention of the Bible. Why was the Bible given? Why was it given? Why do we have a copy of God's word? Well, I think that really it's spelled out right here in verse number 14 and 15 of 2 Timothy chapter 3. He said, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. That's a continuance. He said, Timothy, you've started. Don't stop. Continue. And that's my message to some of you today. Just continue. Say, preacher, what should we do? Just continue to do what you're doing. Amen. Amen. So, well, maybe we ought to change. Maybe, you know, maybe we need to mix it up a little bit and change. No, you just continue doing what you're doing. He wrote to Timothy and he said, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. You can improve upon the word of God is basically what he's saying to Timothy. Just stick with the book, Timothy. Stay in the word, amen. Amen, stay in the book. Continue thou, he said, in the things which thou hast learned. And look what he said in verse 14. And hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. That's conviction. There's just some things, and I hope you'll write it down. There's just some things that you and I, as born-again children of God, ought to have as conviction in our heart. We ought to just say, I'm going to stand on the truth of God's word. I'm not talking about man-made preference here. See, I have preferences, and you have preferences, but that's not what I'm talking about this morning. When Paul was writing Timothy, he said, thou continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. He said, Timothy, that which God has given you, that which has been passed on to you from a godly heritage, which has been implanted, has been imparted into your heart. Timothy, stand on it with conviction. Don't move from it. Stand on it. That's conviction. And then there's conversion. Look at verse number 15. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. What's the intention of the scriptures? This is it right here. I'm glad the Bible says that the scriptures are able to make one wise. You see that there in verse number 15? Wise unto salvation. How wise does one have to be saved? That's a good question. There's been a lot of discussion about how is a person saved. And depending on who you go to, you're going to get probably a different answer. Out of 10 people, you'd probably get 8 different answers out of 10. But there's only one answer that really matters, and that's the answer that this book right here gives. The answer of the Bible. What does the Bible say? What does one do to become wise unto salvation? He maps it out right here. He spells it out. Look at how he followed up with that. One to make one wise unto salvation, and that is through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. That's the way you're saved. How do you become wise unto salvation? Let's talk about that. See, that's the intention of the Bible. The intention of the Bible is that a man, a woman, a boy, a girl, that a person might realize that they can be saved, that they can have a relationship with their Creator. That's why God gave the Bible. That is the chief purpose that God, that is the intention of the Bible. That man might realize he is a sinner and that in his sin he is separated from God. And that God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And that he was buried. And that he rose again from the grave the third day. And that he is calling unto man, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Come to me and be saved, all ye ends of the earth. That is the intention of the Bible. The intention of the Bible, the reason that God gave His Word is so that man could know about God. It's a revelation of God to man. God wants to reveal Himself to you. Isn't that amazing? God wants to reveal Himself to you. That's the intention. How wise do you have to be saved? Preacher, I'm not a very intelligent man. When the Bible says in verse number 15, make thee wise unto salvation, how wise do you have to be saved? You have to be wise enough to know that you're a sinner and that you sinned against the holy God and that your sin has separated between you and God. And that if you do not do something about your sin, you will forever be trying to atone for it in eternity in a place called hell. You have to be wise enough to know that God came in the form of human flesh in a person named Jesus Christ, and that He was born of a virgin. Amen. And that He lived a perfect life, and He died a cruel death. He did not die because of His sin. He died because of our sin. For He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Have to be wise enough to realize that you're a sinner and that Jesus died in your place, died for your sin. And if you will by faith come to Christ and repent of your sin and invite Him into your heart, then He will save you by His grace. That's how you're saved. By the way, that's the only way to be saved. Only way. See, that's why God left the book. Because God wants you to be saved. God wants me to be saved. God wants everyone to be saved. It is not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Amen? See, that's the intention of the Bible. See, it's when I realize the intention of the Bible that I can, number one, be saved. But then, as I began to really realize God's intention of leaving the Bible and giving me a Bible, it's so I can share it with others so they can be saved. Because no man can be saved aside from the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. Amen. Can't be saved without the Word, brethren. Isn't that what the Scripture teaches? So that's the intention of the Bible. You say, well, preacher, I'm a pretty good person. Well, did you know that pretty good people need to be saved? Say, well, now, wait a minute. I'm not a bad person. I'm not saying that you are. I'm saying that you're a sinner. And I'm basing that on what Jesus said. I'm basing that on what the Bible says. We're not going to turn there, but there was an occasion in John chapter 3 where the Bible says there was a man named Nicodemus. He was a Pharisee, and he was a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night, and he said unto Jesus, he said, Master, we know that thou art a teacher, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. You know what Jesus answered and said unto him? He said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That must have really shook Nicodemus to the core. He said, what? Born again? Born again? He said, can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter into his mother's womb and be born again, be born twice? Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is flesh, and that which is spirit, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Amen. Amen. You have to be saved now. You must get saved if you're going to go to heaven. You must get saved if you're going to realize your purpose in life. It is an absolute necessity. Right? That's why we have the Word of God. Nicodemus struggled with it. Perhaps there's someone here today struggling with it. I don't understand all this stuff. I remember a time in my life when I struggled with it. I didn't understand why do folks go to church? What is a Bible? When people say the Word of God, what's that? Calvary? What's Calvary? I was absolutely blind to the things of this book right here. Well, Nicodemus was. And Jesus met him at the place of his need. We were talking about this in Sunday school a little bit earlier today. I'm glad Jesus will meet people at the place of their need. Jesus met Nicodemus at the place of his need, and as they began to have this discussion about being born again, about having your sin forgiven, he said, let me tell you something, Nicodemus. He said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. See, that's the purpose. That's the purpose. That's the intention that God has. It's God's will that every man would be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. I hope you realize that. That's why we have a Bible. God wants to reveal himself to you. God wants to manifest himself to you. In the way of being saved so that you can enter into a relationship with him. If you're here today and you've never been saved, see, you're separated from God. You have no relationship with God. And the only way you can have a relationship with God is through Jesus Christ. I pray to God that everyone understand that today. Sometimes we take for granted that everyone knows the way to heaven. But I want to tell you something this morning, brethren. There's a lot of people that do not know the way to heaven. There are people that, listen, they'd give their right arm if they could to have a relationship with God. They think that their good works or their good deeds or their money or their heritage, they have all kinds of things in their mind. This is what I must do in order to have a relationship with God. There's only one way to have a relationship with God, and that is through his Son, Jesus Christ. How I pray that you know him. I do. And so Paul was writing young Timothy here, and he said, Timothy, he said, just stay on course. Continue thou, in verse 14, in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child. Parents, listen to me. Don't let the enemy now. Please listen to me. Hear me now. Don't let the enemy keep you from sharing this book with your children. So when a preacher, they go to the Christian school. Well, that's not the Christian school's place. Now I'm glad that there are Christian schools. We're going to start one here, the Lord willing. Well, preacher, they go to the Sunday school. I'm glad there's Sunday school. I'm glad for that. We have one here. But now it's the onus, it's on every parent, it's every parent's responsibility to share this book with their children. Say amen with me right there. It's very important. And the devil will do everything he can to keep you from calling your family together, sir, and sharing this book with them. It's important, Dad, that you get your children together and you tell them what this book says. It's important. Say, well, I'm going to let Ma do that. Well, thank God for good, godly mothers, but now you be the father and you take the lead in your home and you call your family together around the Word of God. It's important. And so he said that from a child, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. I hope that can be said of your children. You say, well, preacher, I didn't do a very good job. Well, you know, there's nothing we can do to change what's happened. We can just pick up from this day and try to change it moving forward. Amen? There's not a one of us that could stand up here this morning and say, hey, I'm the perfect parent, or I'm the perfect citizen, or I'm the perfect this or perfect that. No. There's not a one of us that could do that. We've all come short of the glory of God. We've all failed in some responsibilities that God has laid on us. So what do we do? Well, we pick up from this day forward and say, God, if you'll be my helper now, I want to do right by my family. I want to do right by my children. I want to do right by your word. So God, please help me to do this. All right, I need your help, Lord. Now, young people, listen to me. When your children call you together, or your parents call you together, whether it be your dad and mom, or just your dad, or just your mom, listen, I understand there's situations here this morning. There's families that are not whole as far as father and mom and children come together. There's different scenarios represented here. And children, as you are called together around God's Word, maybe your parents wouldn't call you together around God's Word. Maybe they're outside of the body of Christ. They're not saved, but you're saved and you're in church. You know what? You ought to get the Word of God, and you ought to get it out, and you ought to read God's Word now. God wants to speak to you from his book, the Bible. Let him speak to your heart. He told Timothy here, look at it one more time, in verse number 15, he said, that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. It makes a difference. It makes a difference. Now, I, for one, and I am in no way, this is in no way throwing shade at my parents. My dad left my family when I was a very young boy. I saw my dad three times, twice alive and once in the when he was dead in my lifetime that I recall. And he left our home when we were young. And I'm not bitter at my father. I'm not. I hope to God he's in heaven when I get there. And I was not raised in a Christian home. I regret that, but I can't change that. I'm just thankful that God sent someone to me to tell me about Jesus. And if you are in a Christian home, don't you take that for granted. Don't you take the fact that your dad or your mom wants to break open the bread of life and share some scripture with you. Don't you take that for granted now. You be mighty thankful that they care enough to call you together and share some of the truth of the Word of God with you. Be thankful for that. Be thankful. I had a godly grandmother. Oh, how I thank God that she shared the scripture with me. How she shared the scripture. I wouldn't listen, but she shared it with me nonetheless. And many of you know this. And I'm saying this for the sake of some of you young folks in here that might think, well, you know, what can I do, preacher? What can I do? Who will listen to me? You'll be surprised who will listen to you. When I was 19 years old, a little girl, 5 years old, that had gone to a Christian child development center. That's one of the reasons I want to start child development. Amen. I love children at that age because she was very instrumental in me coming to know Christ as my personal Savior. She gave me the gospel. You say a five-year-old girl, she gave me the gospel. She was drawing pictures of crosses and telling me, you know, this one in the middle died for you. It was around Christmas time, and she was telling me, you know, they were learning some part of a little play that they were doing down at the little child development center she was going to, and God used it. I couldn't sleep until I got right with God. So don't you think now, don't you think, well, preacher, what good would it do me to know the scriptures, the Holy Scriptures from a child? Well, you'd be surprised what God will do to use your life. Young man, young lady, listen to me. You'd be surprised what God would do to use you in reaching someone else with the gospel of Jesus now. Don't ever underestimate what God wants to do in your life as a young man or a young lady. All right? Don't ever underestimate that. God can use you. So the intention of the Scriptures is to get people saved. That's God's intention. God wants you to know Him. God wants you to know Him. God wants you to know Him in a personal way. He wants to reveal Himself to you of who He is and what He can do in your life. I'm going to leave this section with this question that was asked to me many years ago. It changed my life forever. Now, when Jesus saved me, that changed my life in a way that nothing else has ever and could ever change my life. But later in life, I was talking with an elderly man, and this elderly man looked at me and he said, I was his pastor, and he said, Pastor, he said, when were you born? And I thought, that's an odd question. I've been your pastor for 5 years. You don't know when my birthday is? And I thought it was an odd way to ask me what my birthday, but he wasn't asking me what my birthday was. He was just saying, when were you born? And I said, well, I was born in 1960. He said, okay. He said, you didn't have to think about that very long. I said, well, no. I know when I was born. November 21st, 1960. He said, Pastor, why were you born? Well, I struggled with that. And I think I said something like this. Well, I guess because Mom and Dad wanted to have a baby. I don't know. Well, you know, he said, no. I'm talking about purpose. What are you doing here? You know, I never got away from that. I went home that night and I began to think, what is my purpose? And then I began to pray. God, I want to know what your purpose for my life is. I don't want to just stroll along through life and it, have it dawn on me one day that you have a purpose for my life after my life's three-fourths of the way over. I want to know, God. Show me. And God made it very clear to me. He made it very clear to me what my purpose in life was. Can I tell you, God will make it very clear to you what your purpose in life is if you'll ask Him? You see, the purpose of the Scripture, the intention of the Bible, is to pardon us, but it is also to give us purpose. And I pray you would know that purpose. Number two, the inspiration. The intention is for you to be saved and have a right relationship with God and be put right with God so that you can know your purpose in this life. But look in verse number 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. I could spend an awful lot of time here, not going to. Can I tell you, I'm just going to tell you, I believe every word of the Bible. Not, I don't listen. Say, preacher, now wait a minute. Do you mean you just believe most of it, right? No, that's not what I said. I believe all of it. I believe all the Bible. Because I believe it all, I'm going to preach it all. Amen. That's right. You say, well, preacher, do you understand it all? No, I do not. I just know that this book that I hold in my hand is the Word of God. It is God's Word. It's not the Word of a man. Listen, look what he said in verse number 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Preacher, what does that mean? Well, it means a number of things, but I'm just going to give you three of them. Okay? Number one, I want you to notice who it says that God, who gave the Bible. All Scripture is given by God, by the inspiration of God, but it's given by God. God gave us this book. That's right. God gave us this book. This is a supernatural book. Can I tell you, there's no other book like this book. There's no other book like, oh, now, preacher, I don't believe that. That doesn't change the fact that this is a supernatural book. Amen. And, now, preacher, I don't believe the Bible is the Word of God. That doesn't change the fact that it is. It's the Word of God, amen. Listen, I've seen people come with all kinds of brokenness and trouble and heartache and sorrow. I didn't give them a math book. I didn't give them a science book. I didn't give them a book on philosophy. I took them to this book, and this book changed their life. Changed your life too if you're saved. Amen. Amen. Can I tell you, the Word of God changes lives. This book is alive. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That word inspiration just simply means God breathed on it. Amen. You go back into Genesis chapter number 2 and you'll find where the Bible says that God formed Adam from the dust of the earth and he breathed into his nostril the breath of life. And man became a living soul. Just like God breathed on that old clay that day and Adam became a living soul, God breathed on this book as holy men of old spake. God breathed on them and this book is alive, amen. No book like this book. No book like this book. Can I tell you, men have been studying it for hundreds and hundreds of years, and yet we meet here today to study it some more. I have preached untold hundreds of messages from this book, and I stand here to preach another one today. You can never exhaust this book because it is alive, amen. The Bible's alive. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Supernatural, verbal inspiration. God breathed on it. I'm glad that God didn't set aside the men that he used to write the book. You ever read the book of Isaiah? Oh, Isaiah has some sarcasm about him. He did. God didn't set that aside. He used Isaiah's sarcasm. You ever read the book of Jeremiah? Oh, Jeremiah has some pathos about him. He was a man who really, listen, he could go straight to the heart of the emotion of man. Couldn't he? God didn't set that aside. Oh, John was a philosopher kind of guy. God didn't set that aside. Paul was a man of logic. God didn't set that aside. God used these things. Listen to what Peter said. By the way, I'm amazed that God can use a scholar like Paul and a fisherman like Peter, amen? A farmer like Amos and a shepherd like David to write songs. Listen, God can use whom he chooses, and he used over 40 authors to write over 66 books in this compilation of what we have as an English translation of the Bible, the King James Version. I'm glad that God gave this book to the English-speaking people so that we could have a copy of his book, the Word of God. This book is the Word of God. And Paul's writing Timothy here and he's saying, Timothy, don't wait now until you get to the top of the ladder and then realize your ladder's leaned up against the wrong building. Don't wait till you get older in age and say, you know what? I believe that book just might be the Word of God. Learn it now while you're young, Timothy. Learn it now so you can enjoy it and be influenced and impacted by it. It'll cut out a lot of hardship in your life. And so as that older gentleman was speaking to this younger gentleman, I, as an older gentleman, am going to speak to some of you young people right now and say, young folks, please listen to me. Don't wait till you get on the backside of your life and your life is full of heartbreak and heartache and sorrow and brokenness and then say, you know, I believe that old crazy preacher that got up there and hollered and screamed and beat, maybe he was right. Maybe that book he was preaching from was right, and then turn to the Bible and realize it was right after all. Oh, you don't have to wait. You don't have to wait. You can do it today. Don't you let the enemy now stir you away from this book. Don't do that. And so he said, Timothy, he said, realize that book that was made you wise into salvation, it's the book of God. It's inspired. You see that word all in verse number 16? It means what it says. What's all, preacher? It's all. Well, now, there's some folks today saying that Jonah really didn't get swallowed up by a whale. I don't care what they said. God said that he did. Well, now, preacher, surely the heavens, you don't believe that three of those Hebrews got thrown in that furnace of fire, do you? I sure do. Why wouldn't I believe it? That same God made me a new man. Hey, man. You believe that Daniel got thrown in that den of lions and that they didn't even hurt him or try to attack him? Well, sure, I believe that. This book said it's what happened. You believe that Jesus walked on the water? I'll tell you one better than that. He changed my life. Amen. Amen. See, there's many skeptics out there that'll try to get you not to believe this book. I believe every word of the Bible. Let's look on down now. We're going to bring this to a close. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Would to God that I've learned this at an earlier age. The Bible is profitable. And because it is, I want to read it every day. Read your Bible every day. Can I put a challenge to you? Do you know if you started tomorrow and read 10 chapters of the Bible if you'll read 10 chapters in the New Testament, starting tomorrow now, May the 15th, before we start our tent revival, May the 16th, you'll have read the entire New Testament. 10 chapters a day. Takes about 40 minutes to read 10 chapters, 45, depending, you know. So I don't know if the Bible's worth me spending 45 minutes a day, preacher. Well, break it up 20 and 25. 20 minutes in the morning, 25 in the evening. I don't know. Spend time in the Word of God. It's important. It's important. I'm just trying to really help you now. The devil will do everything he can. If I don't get beyond this point right here, I want to really drive something home to you. The devil will do everything he can to keep you away from this book right here. This book will either keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. You tell me how much of the Bible you're reading, and I'll tell you where you are spiritually. I don't mean one day now. Listen, we all have days. I'm not talking about one day. I'm talking about systematically. I'm talking about religiously reading God's Word, staying in the book. How can we do what the Word says if we don't know what the Word says? Amen. Please let me encourage you. Please, I'm encouraging you. Read the Bible every day. Get in God's Word. It'll change your life. You can't keep those old feelings of hatred and envy and jealousy in your heart when you read this book right here. Can't do it. God will begin to soften your heart and break you down. You'll be going to people and saying, I'm sorry. I harbored some ill will towards you and I'm sorry. I talked behind your back and I'm sorry for that. I'm sorry that I talked behind your back. I know better than that. I shouldn't talk behind people's back, and I'm asking you to forgive me. Listen, when you stay in this book right here, this book will get you where you need to be with God and man. Amen. It's this book. The reason a lot of folks now, and I do not stand in judgment of you. Who am I to stand in judgment of you? I'm not in a place to stand in judgment of you. But I am telling you what the book teaches, and this book teaches that if we will stay in this book, read this word, and obey this word right here, it'll change the way we live our lives. It'll change the way that we interact with one another, how we treat people. It will. There's not a thing in the world wrong with this old globe that we live on. Our world has gone crazy. But there's not a thing in the world that's going on today that this book cannot solve. I believe that with all of my heart. It just needs to be preached. Well, let's close, all right? Chapter 4, he said, because of this book being what it is, verse number 2 of chapter 4, preach it, Timothy. Amen. Amen. You preach the word, young man. Amen. I wouldn't go to a church that didn't preach the Bible. Wouldn't do it. Never have. By the grace of God, I never will. Bible preaching is what churches are built on. Well, and a preacher, we're going to have to quit preaching the Bible and start telling stories and jokes. Not going to happen as long as I'm the pastor. I'm going to preach this book right here. I've seen it happen. Amen? Seen it happen. Field buildings up. Sharon and I went to a little country town, meeting in a trailer, began to preach this book. God told me, preach the word, preach the word, preach the word. I preached the book. You know what happened? It filled up. We had to build a building. What happened? Filled up. We had to build an addition. Why? Because when you preach the Bible, God will bring them in to hear it. Went to a church right here in Charlottesville, meeting a little white country church in a historical building right down in Charlottesville. And the word of God was being preached. What did God do? Filled it up, built a building. Why? Because when you preach the book, God will fill the building up. It's not about entertainment. It's about preaching the book. God's going to fill this building up. He is. And then God's going to move on our hearts. I may not be here, but we'll build a building across the street, and then what's God going to do, preacher? Well, as long as the Bible's being preached, God will fill that building up. People not only need to hear this book, you give them a little bit. Listen, you give people a little dosage of truth and nothing else will do. Nothing else will do. Paul getting ready to die, and he said this. Look at verse 6. I'm ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Timothy, I'm getting ready to die. God's revealed to me. I'm getting ready to pull out of here, Timothy. Verse number 13, he said this. He said, the cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, he said, bring me something that'll warm up my body. Every now and then we need something for the old body, don't we? Paul was in an old damp dungeon getting ready to make the cross, and he said, Timothy, bring me that coat to warm my body. But notice what he said. He said, the cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest. He said, I need your fellowship. He said, I need the coat to warm my body, but I need you to warm my spirit. Thank God for good Christian brethren. Brethren, I want you to know something. I thank God for every one of you. I thank God for Fellowship Baptist Church, and even if you're not a part of the church and you're a Christian, I thank God for good Christian fellowship. God has used Christian fellowship in my life to encourage me and to warm me and to help me in my Christian experience. Then he said this, look at verse 13. He said, not only bring the cloak, but bring yourself. And he said, bring the books. Paul was always wanting to learn. Amen. Young people, always be willing to expand your mind. Paul getting ready to die. Now he's older in age, but he said, bring those books. I want to increase my intellect. I want to continue to exercise my mind. And then here it is. He said, and especially the parchments. Don't forget the Bible. But Paul, you're getting ready to die. He said, it's a book that I've lived by, and it's a book I'm going to die by. The Bible will help you not only in life, but it'll help you in death. The Bible is the Word of God. There's so much more that could be said, but I'm going to ask you to stand. Our time is up. The Bible. It's the Word of God. The intention of the Bible is to bring you and I into a personal relationship with the God of the Bible. I trust that you know Jesus as your personal Savior now, and that you've had your sin forgiven. It's the only way to heaven. It's the only way. And then there's the inspiration. The Bible is just not a book that churches use or that preachers have. It's the Word of God. It's the Word of God. It's God-breathed. It's been given of God. that man might have a copy of God's Word to know what God has said and what God expects of us in this life. And then it has implications. It will definitely affect the way that you approach life when you begin to turn to it, make decisions based on it, and live your life in accordance to it. God's Word will change your life. Let's bow our heads together.